Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you might know, people often come to pastors with problems. They seek help for a whole variety of reasons, perhaps because of the loss of a family member or a loved one. Perhaps there's a sickness, something either that they or a loved one are suffering from. When death comes, especially, people seek comfort, and sometimes they seek answers. Why did this happen? Why now at this time? At other times, people will come to a pastor for comfort in a difficult situation, whether it's a life situation, work, or a family situation that leads to frustration and difficulty. You can think about in your own life situations where you need comfort and encouragement, and you can fill in some of those personal details for yourselves in your own minds. Well, all of us know, because God tells us in his word, that as long as we live in this sinful world, this world that has been affected in every way by the sin of the people living in it, that there will always be troubles and problems in this life for us. And as a result, therefore, we know that it is very helpful to have a helper, a comforter, an encourager. Maybe you are wrestling with a particular problem as you sit here today. Or perhaps, as we've just been now discussing the subject a little bit, you might be thinking about the many difficulties and frustrations that you already have in your life. Perhaps there's not one in particular that's rising to the surface at this moment, but just a number of things in general. I imagine that, like all of us, you would like to have help with these problems and difficulties. You would like to find some answers. And so often we ask, sometimes we ask directly to God, sometimes we might just be thinking in our hearts, why? Why does this happen? Why is this happening to me? Or you might wonder, how can I possibly handle this situation that I'm facing? And so today we'll have kind of a general pastoral counseling session together. We'll talk about how to deal with the problems that each of us faces in life. And we'll see how this second lesson in our worship service today from the Word of God assures us that God is preparing us for eternal glory with him by giving himself to us to help us in the midst of our times of need and in these problems that we face in our lives. On this Sunday, the Festival of the Holy Trinity, we read the Athanasian Creed. We're reminded of the truth that our God has revealed himself to us as one God in three persons, that he is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And although it's important to know that truth and to believe that truth and to confess that truth about who God is, those truths that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal, equal in glory and majesty and power, those truths might not always seem the most helpful to us in our times of need. And so we need to also look and everything the Bible tells us about who God is and his characteristics of love and grace and mercy for us and what he promises to do for us in our lives to help us and to rescue us and to save us. That is where we truly find help and comfort in the midst of troubles and sufferings in our lives. God wants us to reach his eternal glory, his kingdom of glory with him in heaven. God wants us to be with him, to be like him, and to share in eternal life with him. But the Apostle Paul, earlier in this letter to the Romans that we read our second lesson from, he tells us something that all of us know from our consciences, that all of us, all people of the world, have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So we know that by ourselves, we can't reach that goal of glory with God that he has set. Instead, we know that God himself has to come and move us along and to get us ready for that time when we will share eternal glory with him. Well, how does God do that? The process of preparing us for that eternal glory, as we look at that process up close and in detail, seems to be anything but glorious for us as it plays out. God heads toward the future and he shapes us into what he desires us to be. He shapes us with his own hands, kind of like an artist, a sculptor preparing a block of stone. God has a perfect idea in mind of what he wants that rough block of stone to become. And he works to shape us into that ideal form that he wants to create. Or like a teacher in a classroom, God directs and drills us, going through repetitions so that we become what he thinks is good. God always seems to be forcing us to undergo experiences that, if it were up to us and our choice, we would probably choose to avoid altogether, which is inevitable because by nature, we by ourselves are so very unlike what God wants us to be. Just like a potter working with a lump of clay, God squeezes us and shapes us with his almighty and loving hands. He kneads us, and he even pounds us to make us malleable, like a lump of clay in a potter's hands needs to be, so that he can form us according to his pattern. Now, it's not easy for God to do that to us, and it's not fun or enjoyable for us either, but it is bearable by his grace, because we know that God, our loving Father, our Savior, our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who is working on us in that way. And so in patience, we endure that shaping and molding of God. We stand under the load and under the weight that he puts on us, even when we can't always understand exactly what the goal is that God is trying to reach in our lives by putting that weight or pressure on us. Because by ourselves, we would rather not go through that suffering or that trouble. We would rather relax and take it easy. But whatever happens in our lives, we do not despair or lose heart, because we have hope in the promises of our God. With God at work, we can anticipate how well and perfect and beautiful the result will be, how perfectly it will work out in the end. God promises and he reveals to us that the way to eternal life will involve suffering. It will involve a life that at times seems hard and unfair, and sometimes it seems too difficult to bear. But Jesus has given to us proof of the perfection of God's plan for our lives, of God's plan and the perfection of his power for shaping us and forming us into the image he wants us to be. Jesus himself died under the weight, a weight far greater than any of us have to bear, thanks be to God. He died under the weight of the sins of the whole world, and then he rose again in glory. Jesus has moved from the lowest level of the deepest humiliation, being totally rejected and abandoned by God the Father there on the cross, because he was suffering in our place for all of our sins. But now he is at the utmost height of glory. He has been highly exalted above all things, and he reigns over all things at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is the one who has begun the new creation. The new creation where life does not wear out and where life never ends. In Jesus, life picks up and it goes on and proceeds to greater and greater glory until we are with him in his heavenly kingdom. And so Jesus is really the reversal of life as we know it. For us, so often as we look at the world around us and sometimes look at the problems in our own lives, life seems to be just heading farther and farther downhill. And we know that eventually life will end for all of us in death, unless the Lord Jesus returns first on the last day. But now through Jesus, he has raised us up and he has conformed us to his image, because he wants us to experience eternal glory with him. In the words of the hymn that we just sang, "What is the world to me?" the hymn writer confesses that Jesus is my treasure, my life, my health, my wealth, my friend, my love, my pleasure, my joy, my crown, my all, my bliss eternally. Jesus is all of that and more for everyone. Jesus has taken the pressure, the punishment of our sins off of us, and he has revealed the glory of God for all people to see. And so we know that Jesus and the glory that he has now been risen and raised to experience, that glory that he has now is where we are heading, where he will take us someday. When we face problems in our lives, we may forget the fact that God is involved and that he is taking care of us. But when we look at Jesus and his life, we really see God and his grace and mercy for us in action. Jesus was born among us, true God in human flesh, God with us. He lived and he died and he rose from the dead again to share and reveal God's glory to us. And so now, because of Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins, God the Father looks at each one of us as his own dearly loved children, his sons and daughters, together with Jesus. And it's not even that we need to call out to God ourselves in order for God to notice us and have mercy on us and to save us. We don't need to make God aware of our situation. God already knows everything about us. He knows the struggles and the difficulties that we face. He knows the sins we commit and the struggles with temptation that we have in our lives. Jesus himself, true God himself, experienced temptation in every way. He knows about those struggles. And so he gives us the undivided attention and the help that we need each day to face those struggles. God tells us that we are on the way to ultimate eternal glory with him. And he tells us that we are perfectly acceptable to him because of the work of Jesus on our behalf. God's grace makes God accessible to us. He makes God available to us to help us in our every need. We know that because Jesus has paid for our sins, we are now at peace with God. We are in harmony with him. We are now, according to the new man living inside of us that believes in Jesus, we are perfectly in tune with his will, regardless of what happens to us in our lives. We know that we are on the way to God's goal for us of eternal life in heaven. The song that the angels sang to those shepherds, the simple shepherds on Christmas evening, about peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests, that is our experience now, because we are in faith in Jesus by the grace of God, by the call and work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Just as the infant Jesus came to earth in those hard and cruel times, and as he was threatened by the jealous and wicked King Herod, so he is still with us now in the midst of our lives and the hardship and sometimes cruelty and difficulty that we face, even though we can't see him. But he promises to be that he is with us always to the very end of the age. And so we have confidence in the mercy and in the love of God for us. And that confidence and mercy in God's love has what we might call a horizontal effect in our lives also. Often we think about the vertical effect, that we have peace with God. We know that he loves us and he has forgiven us, but that also has implications for the way that we live in this world and that we interact with other people around us in this world. And so we experience a new boldness toward the world. We know that Jesus has overcome sin. He has overcome the sinful influence of the world on us and the temptations of the devil. He has overcome death. And so we know that no matter what happens to us in our lives, we know that absolutely nothing can change the future that God has planned for us. And so for us, believers in Jesus, when we sing that hymn that we just sang, "What is the world to me?" It's not really a question. We're not looking for an answer. Rather, it's a declaration. It's an exclamation of the fact that we know that nothing in the world can separate us from God's love. We know that nothing in our daily circumstances, none of the problems or the troubles that afflict us, none of that, as the Apostle Paul goes on to speak to us in Romans chapter 8, none of that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That blessing that we read about and that is so familiar to us from the end of every one of our worship services, that blessing that God gave for his priest to speak to his people, that is also not really a wish or a prayer or just a hope that we hope will come to pass, but rather it's a declaration of God's blessings to us. We know that we really do receive what that blessing says, that we receive peace through his grace and mercy to us. God's peace is an outpouring of his Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul reveals to us here in our reading in Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. He says that our hearts are, we know, so by nature empty of God's love and mercy. And so we need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need that blessing from God regularly to fill the emptiness of our hearts that our sin so often creates. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes Jesus real to us. In our baptism, when we were baptized and connected to Christ and his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured into our hearts just as surely, just as really as that water was poured over our heads or over our bodies. At that time in our baptism, a flood of God's grace washed away all of our sins, and it refreshed us for growth and new life according to God's will. The same Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and poured into our hearts when we receive the true body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit assures us that Jesus' body and blood was given into death and poured out into death upon the cross. And that is now given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. And so just as we sing in the Song of Simeon, after we receive the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit assures us that we can now depart in peace and joy. We depart from receiving the Lord's Supper in that peace and joy. And when it is our time, when God calls us to depart from this life, we also depart in peace and joy, because the Spirit has filled our hearts and has assured us that we are at peace with God, that all of our sins have been forgiven. Yes, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us. It brings us to see and to look forward to and to trust in that eternal glory that God has prepared for us and that God is preparing us for by everything that he does in our lives. And so when we feel at times in our lives depressed or a little bit down and out, the Holy Spirit again comes to us through the good news of God's love and forgiveness to raise us up and to give us encouragement and hope. God promises that he will always provide a way out for us when we face temptation, when we're tempted to give up and give in to sin and to the pressures of the world around us. And as crazy as it sounds, as Paul tells us in our reading, we can even rejoice in our sufferings because we know that we are in the Lord and that the Lord himself lives in each of us. We rejoice in the hope that God has given us, the hope that these sufferings are only temporary, and that the eternal glory and joy and peace with God in heaven that awaits us is far, far greater. And so, good and bad, these words, these concepts now have new definitions for us because we know these promises of God. What the world and unbelieving people in the world around us think of as good and bad, for us believers, by God's grace and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we see things in a different way. By God's grace, we begin to see things in the way that he sees them. That what the world might look at as something bad, God might see as something good. That he is working in our lives. working through sometimes painful and difficult circumstances to lead us to trust more strongly and more fully in Him and in His grace, that He is forming us and preparing us for eternal life with Him at His side. God has guaranteed that eternal glory to us through His Holy Spirit that He's poured out upon us. So I encourage you to go home today or this coming week and read this whole section from the book of Romans, chapters 5 all the way up through chapter 8, because in those chapters, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, really fleshes out in great detail the way that God does this good work in our lives. And as we read those chapters and get to the end of Romans chapter 8, we will naturally conclude with the Apostle Paul as he states that there is nothing at all in heaven or earth, seen or unseen, that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The one who calls you, God, is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.